Look, McGovern's dropped to nothing. Nixon's guaranteed the renomination. The Post is stuck with his story no one else wants. It'll sink the goddamn paper. Everyone says, get off it, Ben, and I come on very sage, and I say, well, you'll see, you wait till this bottoms out. But the truth is, I can't figure out what we've got.
What he had, Ben Bradley, that is, as portrayed by Jason Robards in All the President's Men, was a story that ultimately dislodged a president and secured the Washington Post immortality in the pantheon of American journalism. Of late, however, the paper has fallen on hard times. Daily print circulation, which generates most of the income, is at half its 1994 peak. Advertising revenues have halved in the past 5 years. Before Amazon's Jeff Bezos stepped in last fall to buy it from the Graham family for $250 million, the Post had recently been losing roughly $75 million a year. It's all part of the chaos inflicted on almost all traditional publishers by the digital revolution. As Conan O'Brien reminded everyone at the 2013 White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Some people say print media is dying, but I don't believe it. And neither does my blacksmith.
What with the formal wear and all, the affair had a sort of captain's table on the Titanic vibe. Although that's a characterization the Post's executive editor Martin Barron strenuously dismisses, at least for his newspaper.
It's far from that Titanic. I think we're doing extremely well. We do incredible work, agenda-setting work.
True. The Post just won two more Pulitzer Prizes, one for its part in covering the Edward Snowden NSA leaks. But what about the upstart competition, the Graham's capitulation to financial extremists, and that slight, you know, newspaper industry-wide death spiral?
Well, I don't think we're in a death spiral. I think that the industry is reinventing itself. We have 26 million unique visitors online and growing, but our audience is far broader than print. It's worldwide. It's nationwide. And I think what we're doing in that sphere is really impressive.
Actually, it's up to 32 million unique visitors, and they're nothing to sneeze at, although 90% of them are outside the D.C. area, and the ad revenue they generate is pitiful compared to the obscenely profitable good old days. But hold the thought. We'll be back to Barron later, because if the reinvention of the news industry is going on, it didn't start at 15th and L. Just across the Potomac in Arlington, Virginia, resides Politico, a newspaper named for its target audience. Founded by two Post reporters 7 years ago, it quickly became an inside-the-beltway institution. Co-founder and editor John Harris.
We do not try to be all things to all people, but we are obsessed with dominating the Washington conversation.
As such, Politico is equal parts stock market ticker and the daily racing form, both monitoring and handicapping every up and down in the political fortunes of a person or policy initiative. For better or worse, it is the paper of record for the horse race.
Are we indispensable in Washington at the most elite and consequential levels of politics and policymaking? Must we be read in House Speaker John Boehner's office because we're producing journalism that is of such consequence? Is the West Wing of the White House reading Politico, not just to see what we're covering, but because, like, we're genuinely informative and revelatory to them? When the answer is yes, we're succeeding.
They're succeeding, as evidenced by both the Post and the New York Times newly mimicking Politico's signature feature, an early morning newsletter called Playbook, that has become something of official Washington's unofficial agenda. Harris doesn't fault them, but does advise his legacy competitors to identify their knitting and stick to it.
What I would say, if I were editor of the Washington Post, or to be honest, if I were editor of any publication, is what is our comparative advantage, to use the economist's phrase? What do we do distinctively well?
Funny he should ask. Back across the river, not far from Chinatown, I trudge up the stairs to a loft space. Exposed brick, IKEA furniture, four young non-ink-stained reporters at their computers, including one chasing down a lead.
Yeah, hi. Is President Brewer available? My name is Evan Santoro. I'm a reporter with BuzzFeed in Washington. I'm working on a story about something he said about a meeting with Eric Holder.
Yes, on the subject of knowing what you do best, my location is the Washington Bureau of BuzzFeed, the world's leading arbiter of cat video greatness. As I write this, BuzzFeed's homepage headlines include 26 must-have spring flats for under $50 and 28 shocking pictures that prove that the Illuminati is all around us. But now BuzzFeed joins Politico, The Huffington Post, The Daily Caller, Vox, The Drudge Report, Atlantic.com, Bloomberg, and hundreds of other online outlets for national politics and policy to mammothly outpage view the powers that were. The bureau chief is John Stanton.
We have caught the attention of the people in Congress, the attention of the people in the White House, the people on K Street, and importantly, I think, the public as well, particularly the younger demographic, which all of those people want. They want their attention. And we are really becoming the outlet that does that.
Stanton is 6'7", with a shaved head, skull rings, and tattoos covering his arms. He's wearing a T-shirt that says, of course, Worlds Collide. He looks like a bouncer, basically, which he was once. But now, he's on the list.
We don't write about a bill that passes. We don't write, you know, about the micro movements on the politics behind a bill. But we will try to find a way to write about that that gives the readers and the public some kind of context on what's happening in Washington. I did a story this last winter about what happens when you get deported if you're Mexican and what your life is like when you get back to Mexico. And that was a way to sort of show people about the immigration debate and what is happening there in an angle that at the time was not really being looked at by people.
But it's not just the news features he can cherry pick from the traditional media's orchard. It's the effect the new ecosystem has on the old guard. The Post's most viewed story of the past year wasn't the Snowden leaks. It was a listicle of shoddily built hotel rooms in Sochi for the Olympics. The BuzzFeedization of the man, John Stanton.
Easy to understand and shareable and catchy. Watching them learn that and go from sort of poo-pooing us and saying, oh, you know, all you guys do is these lists or whatever, to suddenly realizing that, like, you know, these kinds of lists and this kind of journalism is just a new take on an old form. I mean, it's satisfying, I guess.
Satisfying, I guess.
If they want to do what we do, that's great.
Okay, but what about BuzzFeed's ability to do what the Post does? Will Stanton's reporter, Evan Santoro, get his phone call returned on the Eric Holder story?
The folks that work here, they get their phone calls returned. They get scoops given to them by random people they've never talked to because those people know that giving it to us means something. Even the White House understands that if you shrug us off, that's going to come back to bite you in the ass.
Well, I think it depends on who you're trying to reach.
Garance Franchi-Ruta, formerly of the Washington Post and the Atlantic, now Washington editor for Yahoo News.
I mean, the president has reached out to all kinds of different media with advertising and with interviews. You know, he's done stuff with Reddit. He's done stuff with all kinds of different publications. There's just more people.
More people in the hunt for stories and more people in the audience. The Washington Post has 32 million monthly unique visitors. The New York Times has 67 million. Huffington Post has 90 million. BuzzFeed, more than 130 million. Yahoo has 800 million. No living journalist lay awake at night as a child dreaming of writing for Yahoo News, but almost a billion potential readers? Yahoo!
I think there's a lot of attention still to the shift as if it's something that is new and happening. The shift happened. It's over. We're over that, whatever that hump was. We're on the other side of it already.
Which is why the Post's Marty Baron is unapologetically copying Playbook, launching vertical blogs, publishing listicles, and search engine optimizing everything.
One of the reasons why we face such economic challenges is because we have a proliferation of competitors in a way that we never had before. Newspapers in the past were oligopolies or in some cases monopolies. That's not the case today, all right? We're competing in that environment. We intend to experiment every which way, and I expect that we will succeed. Just because we don't have all the answers today does not mean that we won't arrive at answers in the future.
I guess I'll save the most important question for last. Ben Bradley had Jason Robards. Who's playing you?
You really don't expect me to answer that.
No. But as we'll see in a moment, it was not a stupid question.